Okay. Well, we have a quorum, so we can get started. You have to what?
His computer's being silly. It's stuck in the circle of death.
I could beatbox or something. I could beatbox if you'd like. Good, we're good. All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Port Washington Planning Commission meeting for July 16, 2026. Roll call, we have one member. Is Nate coming? Nate is excused, and Mr. Strom is on his way. So as roll call, is there anyone willing to make a motion to approve the previous meeting minutes? There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the minutes? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. That brings us into public comments and appearances. Is there anyone willing to make or wanting to make public comments this evening? Public comments. All right, we're going to move into item number four then, extraterritorial plat review. Consideration of possible action on a proposed certified survey map to redivide two lots in the town of Port Washington, 4322 County Road LL. John Clausing and Alan Clausing are the applicants. Planning Commission is being asked to approve the subject CSM located in the town of Port Washington as per its extraterritorial plat review authority. The staff is recommending approval of the certified map. Mr. Harris.
So that is kind of the summary of that agenda item, kind of takes up what I have here. This is the city's using its extraterritorial plat review for proposed CSM. Here on the screen and in your packet, you do see the existing lots along County Highway LL just to the east of 43. These are the two existing lots. And then we just have the reconfiguration and the creation of the new lot for the Clausings. This has been all approved by the town of Port Washington, and just the city signature is remaining for its extraterritorial review. And staff recommends approval. And if anyone has any questions, Mr. Penkwitz is here to field them.
Any questions?
Mr. Ryan? To approve.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Alderman Neumeyer. Any questions on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries. You guys have a good night.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to the second agenda item, which is the consideration and possible action on proposed 1,800 square foot industrial building addition located at 1151 Mineral Springs Drive. Oliver Construction Company is the applicant. The Plan Commission is being asked to approve an application for a building, site, and operation plan for the purpose of constructing an 18,000 square foot addition to the KMC stamping facility located at 1151 Mineral Springs Drive in Port Washington's Industrial Park. Staff recommendation is approval of the building site and operation plan subject to the following conditions: a civil plans approval by the city engineer. Mr. Harris.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, as some of you probably know, some may not know, KMC Stamping has two facilities in the Port Industrial Park, the one facility on South Park Street, and then the facility that's part of our discussion tonight is on Mineral Springs Drive. And then we see the facility highlighted on the screen. KMC is experiencing some good business, and they are requesting to add that 18,000 square foot addition to the south side of their facility. It meets all zoning. They are adding the landscaping. And this has been to Design Review Board Tuesday night. The recommendation from the Design Review Board was to approve as requested. And staff recommendation is to approve the building site and operation plan subject to the condition that the mayor noted, final civil plans by the city engineer. I want to amend that and actually include a revised updated site plan as we learned of additional site improvements on the parking lot at Design Review Board. But overall, staff recommends approval with that condition. We have representatives from KMC that are here if you have any further questions.
I don't, I'm just really excited that KMC is expanding in Port Washington. So we are very grateful that you're staying and continuing to be a great local business and provider of good jobs in Port Washington. Anybody else have anything?
No, I would just like, thanks for investing in Port Washington, and I hope you're successful for a long, long time.
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll move to approve.
So the motion to approve would be a staff recommended that the building and site and operations plan subject to the following conditions, a civil plans approved by the city engineer and revised and updated site plan.
Correct.
So that is the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any questions or concerns on the motion?
All right.
Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to the third agenda item, number six. Consideration and possible action on a concept plan for a 20-unit townhome development located at 104 West Washington Street and 365 North Wisconsin Street. Nick Suddendorf is the applicant. Plan Commission is being asked to review and approve a conceptual plan for the redevelopment of the current city police and fire block into a 20-unit single-family townhome development, and the staff recommendation is to approve the concept plan. Mr. Harris.
All right, so as many of you know, this block was highlighted as a key in redevelopment site in the city's downtown and lakefront plan. So we see that in the slide in the image below. And so an RFP was put out. We received three responses to that RFP. All three reflected the city downtown plan vision of wrapping that block around with townhomes once we have completion of the public safety building and they have vacated the premises. We have been directed, council has directed us to work with Fine Line Development to come to an agreement on the property that council approved an offer to purchase. And now we are going through developer agreement finalization along with starting to tee up the entitlement process for his proposal. So we're starting with that tonight with the concept plan. And I know you've seen this, but I think we'll just walk through it one more time. So it's a 20-unit townhome development. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 buildings, mostly, two units side by sides, with a 4-unit in the rear of the lot or the west part of the lot. And a lot of this was taken into account, kind of the funky, curving topography of the site. This is a view of the concept designs, looking to the northwest with Wisconsin Street labeled and Washington Street's finished. So we see kind of the idea for the architecture and design of the townhomes and the earth tones that they're going to be going with, at least in this rendering. Again, looking at some of the main design theme on each, there is different tweaks to that, kind of the variation of that theme. And moving along, and here we see a Washington Street. Those are more of the walk-ups with kind of the pitched roofs. And then we kind of see the, looking at Jackson Street. And then, again, just kind of a tweaking of those designs. And that is the concept plan. I think it was well-received as part of when we received the RFPs. And we are looking at a concept plan approval. Mr. Suddendorf is here if you want to have any questions or comments for him. But starting tonight, we plan to roll out, all the entitlements going forward. And hopefully by the end of September, we've buttoned a lot of this up. But at the matter of hand, we have this concept plan for approval.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any questions? Mr. Ehrlich?
So, first of all, I really love this concept. I think this is going to fit right in very well. I do have a question about why did you go with flat roofs for a portion of it? I would have thought that something that would have fit a little bit for residential would have been more the pitched roof, a little steeper pitched roof, and do more of the lofty. Is it you just lose the square footage or?
It really had to do with the neighbors to the west and the views over top the development.
Yeah.
So the Washington Street and Jackson Street buildings, they have dimensional shingles and pitched roofs, but as you can see, they're shallow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was to keep the overhaul height down across the...
Kind of being kind to the neighbors and... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, the Wisconsin Street buildings are closer to the downtown, which is on the east side, more commercial. So even across our site, we were sort of trying to transition from that feel of the downtown area to the more residential to the west, which...
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I love the way you've addressed the street and how you've kind of worked that, pushed that closer to the Wisconsin Street, pushed the buildings closer to Wisconsin. And then in the back, is you have a little bit more of the parking, and you have, and I like the idea that you have a little bit of a yard back there too, and it's not all just asphalt. I mean, I think you could do some really cool kind of communal things within there, you know, such as a pergola or fire pits or things like that.
We're kicking around all those ideas right now. It's kind of shown with the two walks and that center space.
Yeah,
we are going to incorporate something, but
sure, sure. No, I think it's final it's decision. Really well done,
Mr. Ryer.
Yeah, I agree with what Mike said. It's really nice. I like the way that you're differentiating the appearance of the buildings. It's nice that it's not all completely uniform.
Yeah,
it's really good. I think the only thing that stuck out to me is if the rooftop step back on the West Hill design. I imagine that's just so that those people have a view.
Yeah, and you'll notice we only did the rooftop on the center two units, and that was to kind of maintain the view from the people that are on Milwaukee Street at the top of the hill looking over that. Had we done the rooftops on the two end units, that really blocks the people who are there now, their view to downtown.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my only feedback. Is just I'm a height person, and that would be the only thing that maybe reconsider that. But overall, I think it's a really, really nice project. It's great with the green space in the middle. Looks super nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and just for context for the other commissioners, Nick did a nice job with his team. I mean, they went and met with almost the entire area, made sure to demonstrate what they were doing. He did his diligence, showed them. I mean, we had even seen kind of digitally created views from all of the different elevations to ensure that, you know, nothing there would disrupt it. And that was really important to the council as well to ensure that, you know, we didn't put another mistake on the lake, you know, 14-story building right there, and then just destroy the opportunity for other people to see those pieces. So
you had to bring that up, huh?
Mm-hmm. What's that? Well, I will. That old house, anyways, that corner, that's just a bad thing for that corner. Yeah, Mr. Neumeier?
I just want to thank Nick, too, because I've heard a lot of pushback on previous ideas in that area there, and I have not heard one word from any of the residents. So thanks for giving that a lot of thought. Yeah. I do appreciate that. I support the project wholly. Thank you.
Any other wonderings? Mr. Neumeier, was that a motion then?
That would be a motion to staff recommendation.
All right. And again, the staff recommendation is to approve the concept plan. So any questions or concerns? Otherwise, looking for a second.
Second.
There's a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Oh. All right. Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Thanks, Nick.
Good luck, Mr. Seidendorf. Happy Fish Day. Just as an aside, I had a group of people in town, and people were walking around wishing everybody a happy fish day. Totally, if you don't live here, not relevant at all. Like, didn't we just have 4th of July? Listen, if you don't live here, then don't worry about it. Happy fish day. Okay, next one is special exemption consideration, possible action on a request for a residential shed to exceed the maximum square foot requirements located at 1027 West 3rd Avenue. Taylor Curtis is the applicant. The commission is being asked to approve a special exemption to allow for a backyard shed that exceeds the maximum square footage requirements, and the staff recommends approval. Mr. Harris.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So This is one of the, we haven't had a shed special exception in not many of them. In fact, I went back and looked. We've had two in the last 10 years as far as shed size or special exceptions of this kind. So just a little context there. So here's a request for a special exception. This is on West 3rd Avenue. It is this triangular lot kind of tucked away off of 3rd Avenue and the alley. And you see the location of the existing, and you see the location of where the new one will be. So it'll be similar, you know, same location, not too much different. It'll just be a taller shed. We're going from whereas 150 feet is the standard, and the request is 288 feet. And some of that rationale is just due to the notation in the zoning code, where you can only have two accessory structures in the property. This will be the only one, and so this is kind of remaining within the realm of reasonableness per the zoning code and the criteria for the special exception. So I didn't have too much to say on this. I think it is a reasonable request given the zoning code language, along with the criteria that the commission can consider for granting such a special exception. And therefore, my recommendation is to approve. And if you do have questions, Mr. Curtis is here for any questions.
All right. Any objections from your neighbors?
So I'm sorry, you have to step up to the microphone.
I haven't had anything from the neighbors. I will say I have not spoken with the two that where the shed would be located. I guess really the only one would be the lot that backs up right to where the shed would be placed. I have not spoken with them.
Okay.
However, they do have a 10-foot fence already separating between the yards, and then additional on our side, there's about 18-foot arborvitaes that make a natural fence line as well.
Thank you.
Looks like there's a little shed community there anyways.
Yeah, really hard to see from this illustration, but like I say, from where their shed is to where our, you know, we would like to put that, the shed, and even where our existing shed is, half of it would be blocked by their shed, but really the bulk of it's where those arborvitaes. So from a neighboring standpoint, I doubt they would even be able to see once it's done.
Any other wonders? Mr. Ryer?
I can understand the logic behind having one big one instead of two small ones, but for me, this is just like a ball and strike type thing. So no offense.
Is there someone willing to make a motion to approve?
I will make that motion.
All right. Is there a second?
Seconded.
All right. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
All right. The motion carries. Okay. That brings us to the last agenda item, or the last agenda item, the zoning rewrite, staff update and discussion item only on a draft Appendix A. Mr. Harris is going to give us a review of the draft, use tables with the commission, and follow up on previous discussion items.
I will. Thank you. So let me just give you an update real quick. So I've received all of the draft articles for the zoning code as of just a couple of weeks ago. And it is my intent to see, you'll see the project website probably get changed tomorrow and go from just how it's rolled out by the dates into just wrapping all of the draft articles just into here is the draft zoning code. My goal, working with the consultants and myself, as I got the final materials and I'm reviewing and giving them feedback, is to really bring this to a close in front of the commission in September. I think there's a number of things that they have to do on their end, including their own legal team to review, and just getting myself, because I'm still getting feedback and kind of soliciting some parts of the code that I think may want to get a heads up on for certain folks. And so if I can get that done, I think I'm really ready to get this out in September. There's a lot to it. I'll show that in a second. But I think in the end, you know, we could just be going around in every little tiny thing, but I think it's time to, I think it's pretty much time that we have all the drafts pretty much all lined up now. And I don't need, before I get this out the door, before the stress eats me up. So let me just give you a little bit of where I am and some of the feedback I've continued to get and how I'm addressing it. So on the larger scale of things, you know, you've seen this. This is the land use table that's been out there for a few months now. We've been slowly tweaking it just to, it started off a little more expansive on the allowance of multifamily into a lot of the districts, particularly the R5 districts. So let me just say that the R1, R2, and the R5, that 10, that makes up all pretty much all of the city's one and two family districts. That brown R5 is, you know, the older neighborhoods, the single family neighborhoods and two family neighborhoods around downtown and the older parts of towns. The R1s are kind of those larger lots up by the bluff on the north side and Spinnaker West. And then R2 is the most common single family neighborhood, is kind of those relatively older subdivisions. By that I mean 70s and 80s and continuing on, and all the newer subdivisions that we just had. And so we've been trying to roll back some of that more expansive multifamily, because we're not here to make draconian changes to these districts. We're not here to, try to get too expansive with multifamily. We want to maintain pretty much these single and two-family neighborhoods as they are use-wise. So we've been rolling them back, including the kind of the older R5 district, which is now the CCM, and just allowing, you know, to continue the single and two-family units and introducing some smaller scale townhomes in some of those two residential districts. That's been the update and the feedback I received, and just my own, you know, guiding my own self. So I think we're firming up some of these larger use questions. Two remaining items that we just recently discussed, particularly with, you know, Land Commissioner Ryer's questions, is we're looking at, you know, some of these care facility uses, these CBRs of larger 15 units, hospices, nursing homes. Right now, a lot of them are, we see them in along more of the commercial areas, or just kind of separated off, from like a subdivision. So I have, you know, I want to look into, say, if, you know, can we kind of get back to that, and, you know, can we, these uses, can we have them more concentrated in more of the multifamily and commercial rather than the single and two family district. So that's the issue, remaining issue to address. And the last one is really, I just want to bring this to your attention. I wanted to point out with retail sales, they originally had 15,000 square feet or less of retail sales, or it had an unlimited size amount. So what I asked for is to have retail sales uses up to 50,000 square feet. And the intent of that was really to keep kind of what I see as the commercial districts in Port as still relatively smaller scale, relatively speaking. I think, you know, the big box uses that we see, I think those have a home over in Grafton. And so I kind of think it kind of keeps, the smaller Port commercial intact. So I'm, you know, we have that now, and I'm just bringing that to your attention. I'm also similarly with warehousing uses. Again, I'm going to have general here. The suggestion is to have general warehouse no more than 50,000 square feet. The largest warehouse is under construction at the data center district. That's 50,000 square feet. And again, similarly, I think the idea was that, you know, Port Washington is not, you know, it's not the type of community that's going to have the large 100, 200, half a million, million square foot distribution centers. So I think this kind of keeps it intact of where we are now. And that's what I wanted to bring to your attention. Again, this is a discussion item and just giving you a heads up and initial feedback. And again, you know, getting, I'm getting the, you know, follow-up and inquiries, you know, offline. So that is kind of the larger one. Just a smaller scale one, just to give an example of just the breadth of, you know, what we're all dealing with. And I'm a little sheepish to bring it up to begin with, but I just want to point out, you know, the idea, the suggestion was, you know, is, we've seen these special uses. And again, we're not getting a decision tonight. I just want to bring it to your attention. You know, are these side driveway pads, these are in some zoning codes. Should we go in that direction or keep it as, you know, kind of the just in front of the garage doors or, you know, a special exception? Or just keep them as, or just have the idea, have them available as a matter of right? And I just want to bring this up. It's a small...
Bob, wait, before you move on to the galvanized...
Yes, yeah, just, yeah.
Is there a way in the zoning code mm-hmm. to write it so it's discriminatory in the in like the age of the home? Mm. So if it's a home built before 1990,
yeah.
you can have the side garage piece. Homes built after 19 or homes built after 2020. The only reason I ask is, you know, I think up to like the first home we lived in when we were kids mm-hmm. up on Berry Avenue, single car garage offset off the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today, if you wanted to try to put a Suburban in that thing, you're going to rip the mirrors and the roof rack off. So, yeah, like,
exactly.
What do we do to accommodate older homes, et cetera? And can you have that
exclusionary clause? You can separate out. We have in our current zoning code, it says something built or developed after adoption of a certain date. Yes.
Okay. And I'm just, I don't know what that date would be.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what that would look
exactly.
like. I don't even know if the other commissioners would like that. Mm-hmm. I just...
Again,
I think if you built a home mm-hmm. or you bought a home that was built kind of in the last 15, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
usually garages are appropriate in size, width, mm-hmm. and et cetera. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Again, it's what I wanted to point out. These little things, and yet they're the most common, and they
draw. It goes back to Mr. Ryer bringing up before, like we want to call balls and strikes.
That's part of driving it. And here's one thing. I think... On fencing materials, I think chain link was like was prohibited material, but it's a pretty common material. It's a pretty common fencing, in particular in commercial and industrial areas. So I think it'd be a bit much to say. And again, I'm just throwing this out there for feedback or your attention. You know, I think it would be a bit much to make that such a common type of material prohibited. What is a suggestion is sometimes these galvanized chain link fences in commercial or industrial areas get a little, shall we say, challenging in appearance. And one suggestion is to, and these are becoming more and more common, is just go with the black-coated chain link, and perhaps that's the type of chain link. If you're going to use commercial chain link, industrial chain link, that's your option to get away from more of that industrial, almost penal look. That's all. It's just a suggestion. It's a small thing, but it's a very common thing that would affect a lot. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
I'm actually really good with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, in 2026, if you're throwing up a galvanized chain link fence around your yard,
mm-hmm.
unless you're looking for that retro, you know, 50s aluminum back door look.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring this little thing up, because yeah. I think it's...
Well, those are good catches.
It's a little catch, yeah.
What is the cost difference between the coated fence and the galvanized fence?
Well, that I would need to confirm. Yeah.
Because sometimes people can't afford the coated, they need to go with the galvanized.
Correct. But I think for at least, at a minimum, if it's industrial or institutional or commercial user...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so that's the breadth of stuff we're dealing with.
I guess I would agree I would not want to see a galvanized chain link fence on residential.
I guess I'm going to, you know, start getting into balls and strikes things. You know, somebody has a dog run or something. I guess same thing. I guess we make them put up wood. But it's just kind of going back to the driveway pads, that's when we're doing road reconstructions, that's our most common question that we get. Hey, can you make my driveway wider? Can we get a bigger entrance? So it is a definite need in the older neighborhoods.
Yeah, we have so many houses built with a one-car mindset, right? So,
I would comment on the wider. When they redid Milwaukee Street, I requested and got the widest driveway possible because at the time I had 5 cars, 3 kids living at home, plus me, and trying to get my boat out of the garage and getting around people. Yeah. In the older neighborhoods, I understand that. I wouldn't want to restrict that too much. So that's my thought.
Okay. Yeah. Just these two little things. I thought, you know what? I'll take them to the Plan Commission and get some feedback.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Any other wonders or worries, friends?
That is it for me.
All right. Well, Mr. Ryer, take us home.
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
I was like, what was the pause for? All right. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. This meeting's adjourned. Happy. Go Pirates.